Ramsey TV.
Good Thursday morning to you. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I am in my car. We're getting rain bands from the outer edge of Hurricane Ian, which is on a course to hit the west coast of Florida. We are thankfully out of the way of it here in Broward County, but our thoughts and prayers, of course, go out to those on the west coast. I'm going to talk about this hurricane and earthquakes and wildfires and floods and volcanic activity tomorrow, because these things are included in the things that God declares are ours. And today, I'm going to bring you a giant, really spiritual revelation, because this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, is continuing to bear fruit. I mean, this is incredible. I'm tempted to call this the unknown verse. Where has this verse been? Well, Paul says, all is yours, yet you are Christ's, yet Christ is God's. This is a bombshell verse. And I'm just now eating the fruit of it. I'm just now contemplating everything that is included in this verse. I told you that all those dead people at the Fort Lauderdale Memorial Park are mine the day before. I told you that death is ours. Death is called an enemy, yes, but it's ours. It serves us. We have no more need to fear it. In fact, it is an insult to this truth to fear it. Because it's ours, it serves us. And now, the revelation of the day is that Satan is yours. Now, we may have known this two or three steps removed. What I mean is, we know that Satan is a servant of God, right? Satan serves God. Satan can do nothing except what God commissions him to do. In fact, we know that God created Satan through Christ to be an enemy, to be an adversary. That's what the name means, Satan, Hebrew word, adversary. We know that this adversarial power is a necessary evil in the world to provide the backdrop for good, for the revelation of good. You have to have antagonists in your story or in your account in order for your protagonist to shine. The protagonists must have antagonists to struggle against, that they may be seen as conquerors. There is no conquering unless there's something to conquer. Okay, so we've known, maybe two or three steps removed, that God uses Satan. No, it's more than that. God commissions Satan. Satan serves God. Okay, take that and bring it closer to home. Satan serves God. And now tie that in with 1 Corinthians 3:23. All is yours, yet you are Christ's, yet Christ is God's. What doesn't belong to God? Thank you. Therefore, because of this verse, what doesn't belong to us? It starts with God, comes down to Christ, and then Christ. We are his body, so we are his. You see the chain. Unbroken, an unbroken chain. All is yours, yet you are Christ's, yet Christ is God's. I'll speak for myself. I've never thought before that Satan is mine because I have allowed a gap or a step between God's ownership of Satan and my ownership of Satan. And yet this verse opens this vein of truth. What a big difference between battling Satan and thinking, because it's true, that Satan is yours. I mean, we know that Christians don't even believe that Satan is God's. They don't believe that Satan serves God. They don't believe God commissions Satan. Satan is an enemy that broke the leash and is now running amok, and God can only hope to follow him, chase him around the universe, and put out fires that Satan starts, that God has nothing to do with, because God has nothing to do with evil. So I'm told, even though God created evil, plainly stated in Isaiah 45, verse 7. So we have long ago graduated from this immature, erroneous thought that Satan is off the leash, and we know that Satan serves God. But we've never dared to think this far that Satan serves us. And it's because of this unbroken chain, God, Christ, us, that I can make this remarkable conclusion. Satan serves us. Satan is ours. What a difference this makes in your thinking. I mean, for a long time now, we've no longer battled Satan, because we realize that all things, Romans 8:28, all things are working together for the good of those who love God, called according to his purpose. So we've known that God uses Satan to bring necessary evil into our lives, to train us, and that Satan can't touch us apart from God. We've known that. But this possession mindset. And it's not that Satan possesses us. I've been asked over the years, does Satan still possess people? And my answer has always been no, because the Spirit of God within us is greater than the spirit of Satan. He who is in you is greater. That is, he who is in you, Christ, is greater than he who is in the world. So Satan doesn't possess anyone. But how about this? The complete obverse. You possess Satan. Talk about blowing up that model of satanic possession. No, with this revelation, I'm understanding that we possess Satan. Not only are we not struggling against Satan now, but Satan belongs to us, and he is our servant. If he belongs to you, because you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God, what room is there anymore for fear? There's no room for it at all. Now, I'm going to make a final startling point, but before I do, I need to emphasize the word yet, because someone was alarmed by this teaching, commenting to me, saying, are you saying that Christ is ours and God is ours? No. Everything beneath Christ and God is ours. And this is proven by the presence of the word yet. I'm quoting now from the Concordant Literal New Testament, 1 Corinthians 3:23. All is yours, yet. So there's a qualification here. All is yours. Oh, yeah, yet. Oh, what? Slow down. Yet, you are Christ. See, we're Christ, yet Christ is God. So I thought it was self-evident. Apparently not. All is ours, with the exception of Christ and God. We're theirs, okay? I want to make that clear. We are theirs. They are not ours. But here's the hierarchy, if you will, or the order of importance. God, Christ, us. And everything else serves us just as it serves Christ and God. Everything else is possessed by us as surely as we are possessed by Christ and God. And I don't think this statement is proleptic. Prolepsis being the figure of speech calling what is not as though it were. In other words, I'm telling you, Satan is yours. Oh yeah, Martin, we know that it'll be that way in the future. It's God, through Paul, speaking proleptically, saying what is not as though it were. Well, think about that. We do know that we will displace Satan in the future, that we are bound for the celestial realm, where we will be seated at the right hand of God by virtue of our association with Christ. I mean, more than an association, we're his body. And we know that when Satan is cast from heaven in the book of the unveiling, I can pretty much say with certainty that we will have displaced him at that time, because that is our rightful place. He's the prince of the power of the air. And Satan is not in any fictitious hell right now. He's in heaven. He's in the celestial realms. But how about this? You see, I don't think this is proleptic because of this. 1 Corinthians 3:23, all is yours, yet you are Christ, yet Christ is God's. Is Christ God's now? Does Christ belong to God now? Of course. Do we belong to Christ now? Yes, we do. So I'm going to keep the tense here. I'm going to keep the truth of this verse being a present reality as I consider all is yours. So if Christ is presently God's and we are presently Christ, then all is presently ours. Folks, what I'm telling you is you don't have to wait until we are made immortal, snatched away to celestial realms, and displace Satan as the universe's next sovereignties, the universe's next aristocracy. That's our future. But we don't have to wait for that. Because what Paul is telling us here, what God is telling us here through Paul, is it all is ours just as sure as Christ is, as we are Christ and Christ is God's. And so this is true today. Think of this. This is more than simply knowing that God is using Satan to bring us necessary trial. This is, Satan is yours. Seems blasphemous. Oh, no, no. It can only belong to God. An entity as powerful as Satan can only belong to God. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, right. That's true. But what belongs to God, with the exception of Christ, belongs to us. Because all is yours. All? That's what the man says. And there are only two exceptions denoted here by the word yet. And those exceptions are Christ and God. They're not ours, we're theirs. But everything else is ours, is ours. I mean, my goodness, just think of it. It changes everything for me. I mean, I've known it in a vague way. Well, of course, Satan serves God, and we all know that. We all know Satan serves God. But how about this? Satan actually serves you. How could that be? Because he's yours. He doesn't own you. You own him. This is a deeper truth than to merely think, as great as this truth is, that all works together for the good of those who are loving God, called according to his purpose. Yes, we've known that all works together for good. And that would include Satan. Yeah, Satan is, whatever he does by the direct sending of God, works for us. We need necessary evil to train us. We've known that already. But to think, I mean, that's almost a third person look at it. Like, oh yeah, God is using that to bring us into maturity. But to think that it's a possession. And again, not Satan possessing us, but us possessing him. I mean, just let that saturate your thoughts. Satan's mine. Tell yourself that. You might as well, because it's true.